Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks. And now we are in the studio. We're back in the studio. Back in the studio. I came back from New York and I did a podcast on my own. And I got an email from somebody who said, please, please don't start doing your podcast solo because it's so fucking lazy. And, you know, do them with Steve. They're good. And I thought Steve had written that. And I couldn't verify it. It's tough to track down. Guys like Steve are very nimble with the internet. But and we have a guest today, Ron Yavnieli.
You got it.
Ron,
yes.
Say it again.
Yavnieli.
Ron Yavnieli, my buddy. I met Ron, and welcome Steve. Welcome back to the fold here.
Thanks,
at ATC.
Eddie.
I met Ron, who is an animator, also does stand-up comedy, an animator. I want to talk about his animation, but I met Ron in the park across the street from where we both live. We both have dogs, and dogs have brought us together. His dog is Bosco.
That's right.
That's right. Get up on the mic a little bit.
Yes, Bosco.
Yes, Bosco. It's like a congressional hearing. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Yavnieli. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
No, but that's close enough. Mr. Yavnieli, when does your dog jump into the trees?
Yes, but he only does it for fun. And that squirrel died by accident, and I can prove it.
This is the thing. I'm out there with my two little dogs, my wife, my little dogs, Basil and Charlotte, and they're fucking little, right? Especially Basil. Mm-hmm. Basil looks like a bright yellow squirrel, kind of, right? And he's so small. And Bosco is this athletic lunatic. What kind of dog is Bosco?
I was told when I adopted him that he's a lab shepherd mix, but everyone keeps telling me they see other things, like they see kids. They see Malinois, you know, so I'll go with whatever.
By the way, that is one of the hilarious things about dog people. Do you have a dog?
No.
Or you just sit back and relax and enjoy
it? I'm loving it.
See, whoever wrote this fucking email, Lolly doesn't even, he doesn't even help. No, but.
I'm just here to remember Yavnieli. That's my favorite.
That's very good. You get bonus points. Yavnieli. Most people don't.
But it is hilarious about dog people because Ron was told it's a lab shepherd mix.
Yeah, lab shepherd mix.
And people will be like, you know what? I'm seeing different things. This is what dog people do. It's definitely got some. What do they tell you?
The one I get the most is Malinois. Like, he looks like a Belgian Malinois.
What even is a Belgian?
It's a fancy name for saying Belgian Shepherd as opposed to German Shepherd.
I had a Belgian Shepherd. And your dog is very brown. Mm-hmm. And Belgian Shepherds, my Belgian Shepherd, completely black. Mm-hmm. And my father, racist guy, was like, I'm not into this dog, you know? And I was like, Dad, it's a fucking dog. You know, and he's got these people. And I'm like, what are you fucking talking about, father?
Mm-hmm. Everybody has their shit. My dad was that way with soccer. He thought people who played soccer were pussies.
Really?
He thought you had to play a sport with your hands, with, you know, balls, with, you know, baseball, football, basketball, where soccer kids were like, I don't know. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
No, it's funny, the prejudices. Like,
that was his prejudice.
Like, what is this? I have grown. Are you, Ron, a soccer fan? A football. If you're really a soccer fan, you don't call it soccer, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really a sports fan in general.
Oh, you're not?
Sorry to say. No, my brother is. Maybe you should have
him. No, we don't have to. We're not. Yeah. We're not. Look, but I'm a Renaissance man. Yeah. No, that means I could talk about anything. I could talk about sports. I could talk about animation.
Right.
So you're more of an animation guy.
Yeah. But I will say about soccer. When I was in high school, the U.S. team made it to the World Cup. Remember that?
Yes.
And they had like Alexi Lalas and Kobe Jones and Tony Meola on the team.
You got into it a little bit?
All of a sudden, I was a sports fan because I was watching the U.S. team and rooting for us to win. And like, you know, if I'd grown up somewhere else, I'm sure I would have been a soccer fan. I just, Americans don't watch soccer.
No, the Americans suck. Yeah. At soccer.
Well,
you know?
I went from with my dad being like that with soccer to going to college and meeting a girl who thought anyone who played sports were barbaric. She thought sports.
So you immediately were like, I don't play.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Ron Yavnieli. Yeah, are you pronouncing that right?
hiding behind Yavnieli.
That's
you know,
right.
Yavnieli yeah. can be Yavnieli. A barrier for so many social dysfunctions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Ron spoiled her because Ron would be talking about wine
right.
and politics and just, you know, how the earth, you know, our place in the
curating,
solar system.
Sports
fans. Now, I got to admit, I was brought up as a sports fan, but when I step back from it, they can be stupid, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Sports fans can be some of the most, you know, fucking idiotic.
Don't you have people
moronic.
In your family that you can only bond with through sports? I mean, I have people in my family that our whole relationship is based on the Bears and the Cubs. And if there weren't Bears and Cubs, what the fuck would we talk about?
Right. But I've noticed
everybody, like
but there are like parallels to that, like in the animation world, you
That's
know?
That's true.
There are guys who like, they had, you know.
I'm glad you segued into
that. Like,
that was good.
Pixar, guys who like DreamWorks. A friend of mine, he's like still kind of a little annoyed at the rivalry between Chuck Jones and Bob Clampett, you know, in Warner Brothers in the 1940s, you know? He's like, you know,
I don't know.
Okay, so Chuck Jones was Coyote and Roadrunner. Pepe Le Pew.
And Clampett did what?
Clampett did...
I'll tell you who I land on. Go ahead.
Clampett... So, okay, here's the way to tell.
First of all, I love Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Love Pepe Le Pew. What did Clampett do?
Bob Clampett, at Warner Brothers, he did all this... The main characters, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, as did Chuck Jones. But their versions were different. So, like, Clampett's Daffy was the wild, crazy lunatic who was bouncing off the walls... annoying everybody.
I like that Daffy.
And Jones's Daffy was the sourpuss, you know, jealous, bitter, angry one, you know.
So what did they do? Did they, with Daffy, let's say, did, who won that? Like,
I think Chuck Jones won because he stayed at the studio and Clampett left. And you know, everyone knows that version of Daffy a little better, you know.
But they both, both their stuff is very popular.
Yeah. Yeah, I love them both, you know.
I see, yeah.
The thing I love about it was, like, that it's the same character, but each guy has his own take on it, and each one is valid, you know.
Who did The Secret of Nim? Because that's my favorite.
That was Don Bluth.
Ah, that's great. I love that.
What the fuck is The Secret of Nim? It sounds, to me, that sounds so pushed.
You know what?
Pussy-ish.
You know what?
Like,
that's
the
where
Secret
you're,
of
see,
Nim.
That's where you're fucked, because it's all about animal abuse.
Right.
And it's all, you motherfucker. See, you don't even know what you're talking about.
No, I don't.
And I don't even give a shit about animals, and it's fucking amazing.
Now,
that's
a fucked up thing to say.
I'm kidding.
That's a fucked up thing to say.
I'm
half kidding.
Listen.
You don't.
I do. When I watch The Secret of Nim, I cry.
What is it's a movie about?
Yeah, it's an animated movie from the late 70s about animals who are being experimented on, mice and rats who are being experimented on, who escape, and they create their own fucking world in this farmer's yard. And the farmer is going to come mow the yard, and the mice have to fucking move, and they got to go find the rats to help them move. It's beautiful. I mean, it's totally like a 70s.
See, shit like that makes me cry. Did it make you cry?
I was a little kid when it came out, so
have
I don't
you
really
seen
remember.
It since?
I've caught it on TV once or twice. Yeah,
it was good.
I will say it's like one of the first mainstream animated movies that came out that was like dark, that had that didn't have musical numbers and like, you know, silly characters dancing around. It was this really. I mean, there was some cuteness and stuff, but it was just this really dark, kind of depressing.
Well,
movie,
let's talk about that a little bit. Excuse me. We should have a cough button here. Do we have a cough button here, Aaron? Aaron says no. Now that to me is crazy. We have a flu. We have the flu button.
Mm-hmm.
We have Ebola button. We have
Salmonella,
and we have romaine lettuce will kill you button. Because did you hear that little thing that romaine?
Oh,
there was a little story that romaine lettuce
will kill you. They recall all the romaine lettuce.
But I wanted to, before I get off into the romaine lettuce thing, because I always go all over the place. Like, I love animation when it gets dark and when it dies. As a matter of fact, was it you who sent me?
You would love that. You would love
that. No, I would love The Secrets of Nim. Of course I would. I'm a fucking vegan. I'm an animal rights guy.
You were ready to take me apart over The Secret of Nim, which
is
a terrible title.
The Secret of Nim.
It's a terrible title.
It sounded like a little, you know,
My Little Pony.
Yeah, something like that.
Nim was like an acronym for something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like
it was the where they escape from.
Like national intelligence.
Yes, it's where they escape. It's where the animals escape from, where they're being...
The fact that they do animal experimentation is so fucked up. Scientists, quote-unquote scientists, you know, use animals in experiments, and they don't need to. They don't need to anymore. You know, use fucking human beings. Use Trump supporters. If you want to experiment on people, use a Trump supporter. Just go to the wherever they are.
They won't
Anyone who's got a MAGA hat on, say, sir, we need you to test makeup. You know what I mean? We need you to test makeup. We need you. We need to wire you up and fucking see if this car battery works.
As long as it's corporate sponsored, they'll go for it. They'll
go for it.
If it's sponsored by Chevy, if Chevy or Ford goes
behind
that
is a funny concept, isn't it? Like MAGA, you know, the Make America Great Again guys just using him for experiments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that would be a fucking great thing, you know?
George Carlin did say, all you got to do is give him a fucking Budweiser. And they'll all you got to do is give him a Budweiser. And they'll all fucking kill each other on pay-per-view.
As long as George Carlin
give him a fucking a little Budweiser logo at the end.
Was that toward the end of
it
his?
Was, you know, the,
I hope so. A lot of people didn't like Carlin toward the end. They were saying, and this always pisses me off when people say this about comics because I'm angry, and they always say, he's too angry. And I love when comics are angry. To me, that's when it just means so much. Like
there was one concert.
I don't know. I loved Carlin.
Yeah, it was toward the end. There was one concert that he did that nothing got a laugh except. There was,
one line.
Let me tell you something. There was one line he said, that's why they call it the American dream, because you got to be asleep to believe it. And that one line is funnier than Adam Sandler's entire career.
Hey, let me tell you something. Sandler is finally hitting his stride. He sang a very funny song about shampoo 30 years ago and built a career on You never heard that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you're good. You're a smart guy. You don't follow Adam Sandler. But I wanted to ask you about dark animation because there's Art Crumb, right?
Yeah.
And then there was this guy, M-A-U-S. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Art Spiegelman, Mouse.
Spiegelman. Uh-huh. What was the name? My wife has that book, and it's this incredible animated stuff about the World Trade Center and Nazis and... Am I mixing up?
No, Mouse. So Mouse was a graphic novel in series, and
M-A-U-S.
Art Spiegelman is the son of a Holocaust survivor, and it's the story of it's basically his father's story of surviving the Holocaust and then coming to America with his mother and all that. And they had met the parents had met in Poland, in the Warsaw Ghetto, I think. And were married there, but then they were shipped to Auschwitz and separated, and they had a child who was killed in Auschwitz, and then they reunited after the war was over and came to America. And so Art Spiegelman always had this like kind of invisible older brother who had died in the Holocaust that he had to live up to, that he could never live up to. So it was about that too. It was about like his kind of messed up relationship with his parents.
Whoa, it's deep shit. Now, the reason I bring it up is because, you know, we're talking originally about Clampett and Jones and Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. And I think a lot of people think, well, not anymore, I guess, but animation was like, it's Bugs Bunny cartoons. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten to be graphic novels.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Are huge. Do you read any graphic novels? I'm thinking no.
No,
I'm looking
don't.
At you.
But I like...
Well, I could recommend some.
Okay.
Us. Recommend our audience some graphic novels.
Okay, well, Mouse, which we just talked about. So the main conceit about Mouse was graphically... So, the story itself wouldn't have worked as a comic book, as a graphic novel, unless you did something kind of cartoony with it. So he portrayed the Jews as mice and the Nazis as cats. And like each other nationality had their own animals. So Americans were dogs, I guess, because they're mutts, right? You know, mixed together.
Right. This is good stuff.
And the Swedes were deer and the British were fish and the Poles were pigs. And and the Nazis were cats and the Jews were mice. And here's where it connects back to Secret of Nim, is that after Secret of Nim, Don Bluth made American Tail.
Spielberg, right?
Yeah.
Produced that.
Well, I don't even know what American
Spiegelman sued him over that because he felt like they were stealing his metaphor.
Spiegelman sued Spielberg?
I think he's either Spielberg or Bluth or both. I don't know. Because it was about
immigrants.
Yeah.
Jewish immigrants coming and it was a mouse and a family of mice.
Did he win or lose that suit?
I don't remember.
God,
I just know that he sued.
That probably means that he lost.
Yeah.
He lost. Because that's a...
Really?
You're just going to use mice. That's kind of like... I mean, come on.
Because they... In American Tale, they broadened the metaphor a little bit. Because it wasn't just Jews were mice and they're oppressed... And Cossacks were cats. It was that, but it was also all, you know, American immigrants who were oppressed in their old country... Who came to America were mice, well, and their oppressors were cats.
Hold that thought, because we have sponsors today,
okay,
and this is
sponsors.
A perfect time. This is a perfect time for a sponsor after that kind of thing. And our sponsor today, this is AAA, and it's AAA Full Service. And I think, you know, a lot of you, if you've been listening, watching the podcast, AAA has a full service program, and I'm really glad they're on board with us. And this is a true story. This is a AAA Full Service true story. Let me tell you a little story. A few years ago, I landed a small role on HBO's reboot of ALF. It was a punishingly gritty and dark departure from the original series, devoid of comedy or joy. The days on set were an endless parade of grindingly mechanical puppet human sex. Let me tell you, Lars von Trier demands brutal, brutal realism. I played what was called a Melmacian milky baby, and not to go too far into it, I was constantly in the process of either milking a puppet or being milked by a puppet. By the end of the first week, my nipples looked like a gorilla's thumbs. All right? 6 months later, HBO shut down production. At the end, my only sensation was the poorly lubed void where my humanity had been forced out by 15 inches of felt, chicken wire, and fun fur. I walked the earth as if damned, knowing neither time nor place, shamefully reminiscing my bondage. Much like the friendly technicians at AAA, who are ready to serve your needs 24/7 with award-winning roadside service and customer care. AAA, no questions asked.
And right, thank you, AAA, for a perfect spot to follow Nazi mice metaphors.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, okay, so you recommend Spiegelman's.
Yeah, Art Spiegelman's Mouse is a really good one to start with.
Was American Tail good, by the way?
Yeah, I liked it.
Very good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I remember that one a little better because I was a little older when it came out, but yeah.
I think we're probably the same generation because I didn't see Secret of NIMH in the theater. I saw it years later on VHS, but I saw American Tail was, you know, I was 10 maybe, or I don't know how old you are, but I'm 42, so
I was shown Secret Secret of NIMH on a handheld device in the back of a bodega in Brooklyn.
Thank you, AAA.
In Flatbush.
One more time.
Thank you, AAA.
Thank you, AAA.
Yes.
For that experience.
But yeah.
And if you call AAA, they'll show you the Secret of NIMH while you wait, while they fix your car. I don't know.
While they
strike.
Hey.
Swing and a miss.
Don't.
I don't know. Yeah.
Wait, that's all this podcast. This podcast should be called Swing and a Miss, for fuck's sake.
See, I do know some sports terms.
Did you notice the Yankee hat?
Yeah, there you go.
What is that?
So, yeah.
Anyway, I don't care.
Mouse and another one I would highly recommend is it's a series of graphic novels. It's a comic book series that have been like combined into several novels, and then like one big one. It's called Bone. Bone, B-O-N-E, by Jeff Smith.
And what's the premise of that one?
He describes it as Bugs Bunny meets Lord of the Rings, basically. It's like, so you
Bugs
have these...
Bugs Bunny meets Lord of the Rings. So funny and like magical realism
exactly.
type of stuff?
Yeah, so you have these characters who are the Bones, they're cousins. There's Phone Bone, Phony Bone, and Smiley Bone. Basically, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy. Those are their personalities.
Okay.
Like, you know, the nice, innocent one, the snide, angry one, and the dumb, goofy one, you know. And they get lost. They wander out of their hometown, and they wind up in this magical valley where there's dragons and princesses and all this crazy stuff is happening, and they kind of have to navigate their way through
that sounds
the
cool.
world. Yeah.
Well, I could go either way. Now, I like more stuff like Spiegelman's Mouse. I like
the
gritty.
Subversive.
Subversive, gritty. Now, the magical realism stuff. I remember I watched the first Lord of the Rings, and I was okay with the first Lord of the Rings, but I couldn't go more than, you know, they start. I think they
it's
did
funny
three
you
movies
that.
Or something.
I think they fucking flub those movies, man.
Why? But there's something about magical realisms where I'm like, enough with the hobbits. Another Hobbit. Like, I get like that. Like, fuck the Hobbits.
Okay, so Bones not for you.
Really?
No, because they're not Hobbits.
Do you like that stuff?
Sometimes, yeah. I'm more of like a fan of like Harry Potter than Lord of the Rings. Oh. I like Lord of the Rings, but I like Harry Potter a little better.
What about Silmarillion? Did you ever read Silmarillion?
No. Again, you guys should have my brother on because he's like the biggest.
Who's Silmarillion?
Silmarillion.
You keep pushing your brother.
Tolkien's, because he can talk to you about that stuff.
Tolkien's Old Testament. It's the entire overview of everything that happened in Middle Earth from the beginning of the creation of. It's fucking great.
It is?
Yeah.
You're a big Middle Earth fan?
I love the Silmarillion. It's hard for me to get through The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. But the Silmarillion.
Why do you love the Silmarillion?
Because it
so
gets
much,
to then. The fucking point quickly. And we don't have paragraphs.
But is it all
of
about
someone
hobbits and
begat
shit?
Someone. No, because the hobbits don't come till the end of the book. So it's all about wizards and elves and where the elves came from and the gods who rule the world. And they got one of them cast down kind of like a Lucifer.
So there is some of that kind of stuff in Bone, like toward the end. Like just the big kind of overarching origin story of the whole world and the universe and how the dragons fit into it and all that. It's actually pretty awesome. All while having these kind of silly, goofy-looking Bone characters, which are called that, I think, because he designed them when he was a little kid, and they looked like bones. So they're kind of, I guess they're kind of elves, but they look like Casper the Friendly Ghost a little bit, too. There's like mushy, white kind of creatures.
Here's my thing about animation. One of the things, to switch gears a little, and you could check, is it seems so labor-intensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. I am always amazed at, like, you know, watching how long it takes to do animation.
Yep.
And I am such an instant gratification lunatic in my work, which is one reason I'm a stand-up comedian, because I don't fucking, all I have to do is get on stage, you know, put my shit out there, and that's what I do. Whereas you as an animator, and it's also why I'm not a great writer, is because I have trouble. It's all about discipline, I think, on one hand.
Somewhat. Honestly, that's exactly why I got into stand-up, too. Same reason, because I...
Well, he doesn't want to do the architecture anymore.
No, because, like, I was doing animation, and it was, you know, early in my career as an animator, but there'd been some ups and downs already, and things were kind of stabilizing, and it was going well, but I wanted something else. I wanted, like, another creative challenge, and I needed... Something with more instant gratification. Something that you don't have to go to school for. Something you can just get up and do. And
watch it.
No.
Hold on. Watch it. I feel like...
No. I'm not saying any asshole can do stand-up. I'm not saying that.
Because
I'm saying,
a lot of assholes do stand-up.
I know.
They're called comedians.
Yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. What I mean is, you don't have to you don't have to get a degree to become a stand-up comic. And if you get up... If you get up in front of an audience and they laugh, you did it right. Right. You know what I mean?
Even if accidentally.
Like, you know, you don't have some executive breathing.
Which does happen and is still
it
wonderful.
It does, but it catches up with you. Like, if you accidentally are funny, and it happens to a lot of people their first time for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They're like, they stumble into it. They're like, oh, shit, I'm funny. And then they last another three shows.
Have you ever watched Eddie do stand-up?
Yeah.
Okay. Live? Have you seen him live?
No. I've only seen you on TV.
Yeah, you got to come to the show one day.
There's nothing like it. Dude, he has the audience crashing into each other. Three different sections of the fucking crowd are laughing for completely different reasons.
You ever have
all legitimately, maybe one is confused, but they're still laughing. And I've never, it's beautiful. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
But did you ever have that moment where, like, they laugh at the wrong spot, but you're like, why are you laughing at that? I didn't even get to the punchline.
No, why would
like,
you even question that? You're just happy they're laughing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
sometimes, but But my stuff isn't that structured. Like when you say you're laughing at the wrong spot, I have had some people who are just like laughing, it seems to me, for no reason or too hard at things that they shouldn't. And sometimes it's funny. I'll call them out on it. Like, that's good. I'll say, like, that's good that you're laughing at just something in your head. You're my kind of audience or something
great.
Like that.
That's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we have some phone calls. We have a couple of phone calls.
Cool.
So, Aaron, do I go to you for this? Or?
There's a plug over to the right.
Oh, plug to the right. Is this it? Do I plug this into my phone?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do it.
So while he's fiddling with that, I want to ask you.
Yeah, I got that iPhone.
So what you're saying is you wanted to play jazz and you were tired of the architecture shit and you wanted to play jazz a little.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
We're not architecture people, dude.
Right.
We're not architecture. We're jazz.
Right.
I still prepared. I prepared for a full year before I even did my full, before I did my first open mic. You know, I just to get my first like 5 minutes ready.
You prepared for a year?
Yeah, like
I prepared my whole life.
Yeah, I mean,
I was nothing but a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's who I was. I went to college.
But you were an actor in the theater, too.
I was an actor, yeah, yeah. But I would do scenes in front of people that were supposed to be serious, and they would laugh. Mm-hmm. And that was hard for me to take. Like, I would do, I don't know, Willie Loman, and people would be fucking cracking up.
Were you not like, understanding how funny you were, that you can't get away with?
I knew I was funny, but I thought I also was a good dramatic actor, which I think I am. But I want to go to our phone calls. Now, folks, you could leave a message every week with us, and we'll talk about it. We'll play them on the air like we're going to do now. And the number to call to comment on Pep Talks or have a question for me, Stephen, our guest, is 424-262-0904. That's 424-262-0904. We got a couple of messages, and I'm going to play the first one right now. Hopefully you guys can hear it, and here it goes.
Is this like Pep Talks? I can't do any actual work. I'm supposed to be doing actual work, and all I do is fucking play video games. I'm not even getting good at the video games. I got all the cheat codes on so I can't die. So I'm just like on a couch surrounded by work.
Okay.
And then I just play these fucking video games. And watch TV. Not even good TV. I watched two seasons of some cop show. It was horrible. All of it. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Okay, now this is the kind of level of comment that there's an intellectual integrity to this show.
Yeah.
And this was a great confessional one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a symbol. If you hit it right as a comedian, this is who you're going to attract.
Right.
This is what's going to happen. So I just want you to know down the road where you're...
No, he's just making a comment about the fact that he can't get any work done. He's surrounded by video games. I never got into video games. Did you?
A little bit when I was a kid, but I outgrew them.
Yeah, you outgrew them because...
I didn't outgrow cartoons, but I outgrew video games, oddly. Yeah.
Somehow. Interesting. Well, you fucking draw cartoons, so why would you outgrow the thing that you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's an art form for you, but I mean, a lot of people just... get into video games, which my generation, I'm 59, and I never really got into them. You know, we used to do something called kick the can, where we would just kick a can, you know, down a street, and we were happy. This is so funny. The old guy who's like, we used
soccer.
What about hopscotch?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Aaron, is there any waters? Could you give us a water?
It's warm. It's warm in here.
And I just felt my throat cracking, and I meant to get waters, but they're not here. But yeah, like, so I would just kick it or take a fish, you know, just take a fish.
What the fuck are you talking about? I can't tell if he's, that's another problem. I can't tell
just
if he's fucking
fish,
kidding.
Put it in a tank and look at it. And we were like, look at that fish going back and forth.
And this is what happened. This is the real creative generation. A fish in the can.
This was the great generation. No, it wasn't the great generation. I'm not from the great generation.
No, but your generation is more creative than the kids who are growing up watching fucking Emoji Movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder about that. You know, I have my little personal thing with animation where I think young kids who only see animation grow up to become adult cartoons.
Yeah.
You dig that. You're with that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Hey, let me play one more. I got a couple more calls, but let's play. This one is a little higher level. Here we go. This is from Roger.
Hey, it's Roger from Refinery Land. Hey, so Buddha could have never imagined the shit show we deal with now. And I'm wondering, have the distractions of technology killed reaching enlightenment? You know, Nietzsche said that... science killed God, and it's been a few decades since then. Has technology killed enlightenment?
Wow, that is now. I just
sort of relates to the previous call in a way.
I love how I was just going to say how you know the spectrums of calls on Pep Talks go from a guy who's like, look, I'm surrounded by video games. You know, I don't do anything. And then we talk about Nietzsche said, Roger, my buddy Roger. Thank you, Roger, for that call.
Science
I love
killed
Roger.
God.
Huh?
He said science killed God.
Science killed God is a great. Now, I don't think science did. Well, Nietzsche, that's what Nietzsche said.
Right.
You see, because what Nietzsche was talking about, you know, and God bless Freddie Nietzsche. Freddie Nietzsche, what a kid. Anyway. Fred Nietzsche, I call him Freddie, he said Hitler misused him, by the way. Hitler took his man in Superman and kind of abused it and said, oh, the Germans are Superman. But I don't think that was Nietzsche's intention
at all.
Not at all. You know, Wagner was called a Nazi, too. You know, Richard Wagner, the Ring Cycle.
He was a Nazi.
Was he?
Yeah.
He may have been. I'm not sure.
So was Hugo Boss.
Who?
Hugo Boss, the clothing designer. Yeah.
Hugo Boss was a fucking Nazi,
He designed the concentration camp uniforms.
Wow. Yep. I did not know that.
How do we keep coming back to this? Yeah.
No, because
we're all Jews.
And in the news is Israel now on the other side of it. They're perpetuating a genocide.
No, they're not. Sorry, I was afraid this was going to come up, but no, they're not. That's false. Yeah,
Do you think what they're doing is right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're on the way.
Well,
we're on the diametrically.
I might be in between you guys.
And we're Jews. Me and Steve are Jews, but you might be in the middle. Well, and I'm a Jew, but what they're doing to the Palestinian people is, quite frankly, you know, it's a genocide, and they've got them walled in, and they've walled them in for I don't know how long, and they're shooting unarmed kids.
No, well,
they're shooting unarmed kids, and they're calling them terrorists.
They're not armed with live ammunition like the Israeli soldiers are.
Right. No, but I mean, if you attack, first of all, you know, if you set fire to the wall with tires, that's an armed attack. It's not.
They are
shooting. They are shooting through the fence. Some bullets have reached Sderot, which is an Israeli town I just saw. And there is a lot of propaganda and misinformation about this. There always has been. And I've been there. I've seen it myself. What you're getting is not the truth. If I believed as you do, if I believed what I heard on the news, then of course I would agree with you. But I don't believe it. Yeah. I never did because it's not true. Because I spoke to the people who were there. And who went through it in person, and it's merely self-defense.
It's interesting you say that because Eddie asked me. I went through a whole tirade out there,
and there's never been a genocide where the population supposedly going through the genocide has increased.
Well, I think the term genocide is I agree with you there. The term genocide is a little out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
really?
Yeah, and apartheid too. I mean,
thank you.
Israel is really? Surrounded by everybody hates them, and they want them gone, and they don't like Jewish people. And it's my opinion is it's the Netanyahu motherfuckers. I have a problem with the Netanyahu motherfuckers. I have a problem with the military-industrial complex.
You don't have a problem with a people who were walled in, basically.
Well, Israel is walled in. I mean, Israel is a country that's walled in all around them, too. I mean,
they're free to go wherever they want to go.
Not exactly. I mean,
not to Iran or Saudi Arabia. I mean, or Dubai. You know, Jewish people can't go to Dubai.
And
I
even,
don't think we're allowed.
You know, if we're talking about free to travel, you know,
is ridiculous.
Compare what to?
What Palestinians who are walled in Gaza to the fact that Israelis can't go to Dubai? I mean, how is that even a comparison? A
couple of things to consider about being walled in. For one, why are they walled in? They didn't just build a wall for the sake of being cruel. They built it because terrorists kept coming in and bombing innocent civilians in Israel for no reason other than just to hate after they had pulled out. And they kept lobbing bombs. And,
see, there's got to be a historical context to all this stuff. That's in this discussion, there has to be, you know, to just say, you know, oh, they just came in and, you know, performed terrorism. And that's why they're walled in. It goes back before that. It goes to the 1940s when Israel took that land.
Okay, if you're talking about Gaza specifically.
Oh, yeah. I am talking about Gaza.
So Gaza doesn't go back to the 40s. Gaza goes back to the peace treaty with Egypt.
70s.
Something very few people know or remember. Israel didn't want Gaza in the first place. They only took it as one of Egypt's conditions. Egypt said, give us back the Sinai Peninsula, but you take Gaza. We're tired of dealing with these people. They're your problem now. And Gaza is also walled off on the Egyptian side. Did you know that? And the Palestinians aren't allowed into Egypt either.
No, well,
yes, I know that.
Well, the whole reason
that
the Palestinians were there is because the other countries didn't take them.
Roger Fuckface Waters, who I despise him and his fucking bullshit music, sorry. But, I hate Pink Floyd. I especially hate Roger Waters. I'm actually glad he hates Jews because I've always hated his music and now I finally have a good excuse.
Okay, let me ask you a question about this then.
I got a question for you from entering Gaza through Egypt.
What about Ehud Barak, who was murdered by one of these fucking crazy...
Ehud Barak is still alive.
I mean, Yitzhak Rabin, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Who was murdered by one of our people, one of our crazy fucking right-wing Netanyahu fucks.
That guy who murdered Rabin is in jail.
Right, but you understand what
as
I'm saying?
As he should be.
As an Israeli supporter, we can't just see one side. It's not just a one-sided thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if Israel is going to be the fucking test site for our military-industrial complex, which is basically what they are, and the Netanyahu motherfuckers are going to run shit, okay, we have to also take responsibility and stand up like Natalie Portman, stood up. I don't know if you saw that.
I disagree with her,
Portman.
Too.
Well, you can disagree with her, but, and I hate to bring up the New Testament, but,
what
in the New
Natalie
Testament it says
said.
She came out. She's a huge Israel supporter all her life, by the way. We can agree about that, right?
She was born in Israel.
And she's always been a supporter of Israel.
Yeah.
Okay. And what she said?
She said, to paraphrase, she said, I cannot continue to support... there was an award that she was supposed to go and she was going to be with Netanyahu and she said, I cannot go and support this because Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be there. And I do not support the actions of Israel she didn't clarify specifically what, but you could kind of take your pick. Was it the rabbi who compared, black people to monkeys?
Who said that?
Rabbi Yossi?
I haven't heard that.
Well,
I don't know what
then
you're
you should
about.
Maybe check out some other alternative information.
If that's true, that's wrong, and I of course condemn it.
Okay.
Never mind.
Let me tell you something, brother. Uh-huh. I spend a lot of time around Hasids and around ultra Orthodox Jews, and there is a major fucking and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I love them, but there is a major fucking disconnection between these people and secular society.
I know.
In the sense that even in the inner city of Los Angeles, on Rosh Hashanah, I witnessed little Jewish kids torturing and tormenting a black homeless guy.
Really?
Yeah, and the guy who I was with, a rabbi, didn't do anything.
Really?
And I walked around irate on Rosh Hashanah because of that. Now, why did God...
I would have too,
yeah,
if I'd witnessed
that. What I'm saying is you may need some other information. It's not just the left that's against the Jews.
It's mainly them.
Also, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not just mainly them.
It's amazing, I think, you know.
No, you're right. It is coming from both sides. You're right. But here's the difference. The right wing who are against Jews are thankfully dumb enough to openly say we just hate Jews, as opposed to the leftist Jew haters who are more insidious about it and say, no, we don't hate Jews, we just hate Zionists. One of my best friends is Jewish. I'm married to a Jew. I dated a Jew once, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, you can't say I hate Jews. I just hate Israelis and Zionists and label everything they do as genocide and other things. And none of that is true. I used to teach college, actually. I taught animation at a college, and there was an incident there where some innocent Jewish kids from the Hillel group were attacked by a Muslim group on campus, and nobody did anything about it. And in fact, the very next day, the student body voted to pass like a BDS resolution, and I wasn't there because I was only teaching there 2 days a week, but I just, I had to say something, so I wrote a letter. That was all I could do. I just said, this is wrong, and you shouldn't do it, and it's all based on misinformation and lies.
Well, I guess we could agree that it comes from both sides.
I think this is a good time. Hold on. We have a couple of sponsors. And
I may have just lost you all your sponsors. I'm sorry. Yeah. Maybe you should have vetted me.
You know what? Yeah. The controversy from having dissenting opinions could make the ratings go up.
That's true.
Now I'm officially out as a Zionist, too. Sorry. Okay, there you go. Not sorry about that.
Yeah. No.
It's right there in my name.
I mean, I just go for the underdog. And there's a very clear underdog in this situation right now.
Because that's what they want you to think.
Well, no, it's actually quite visible. But
because that's what they want you to think. They make it visible that way on purpose. It's actually not true, is what I'm saying. They've been manipulated by their own leaders, by other Arab countries.
Amazing to me about this stuff, and without a personal attacks, it's what's amazing to me about this stuff, and this is the problem in the world, is that when people have a certain viewpoint, they don't get off it. It's amazing, and it is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like there's no, and this happened here. Dissonance. This happened in this fucking country too, where like, you know, it's just like no. And everybody's got to work on this. It's like no, this is the truth. Like, this is the truth. Instead of there being a dialogue,
yeah,
it's like, no, you're wrong. Right. And it's like, whoa. It's like there's no room for discussion because it's super emotional. It's super fucking emotional. And people are like, no. I fucking believe this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what goes on. And, you know, you have your reasons and, you know, people on the other side have their reasons for, like, being that super emotional. But what has to happen, I would hope that people would want peace in this world. I would hope that's what people would want, you know, throughout the fucking world, like peace, equality, like all the shit that they sing about in Age of Aquarius. But what happens is that people get so, like, rigid to their viewpoint.
But what we're
that
doing,
they're like, no, you're believing that because that's what they want you to believe. And then what happens is you get, like...
No, but like, Eddie, wait a minute now. But what we're doing in this room is actually good because we are not in an echo chamber. He thinks differently than we do. We're pretty lockstep when it comes to political stuff.
But yeah.
We mostly can find differences if we talk long enough.
So let me clarify where I'm
You don't
want
to get to our sponsor? They're really a good
we're
sponsor.
We're not in a left-wing
Brown
echo
label?
Chamber, that's for sure, today.
So if I lived in Israel, like half my family does, I would probably be a lot more left-wing. I probably would not have voted for Netanyahu if I'd voted for that election because I'm pretty sure no one in my family did.
How does he keep winning, by the way?
I don't know. But
how did Trump win?
Well, nobody liked Hillary Clinton. That's how fucking Trump won.
Where I'm coming from, though, is that the people that I go up against, the people that try to argue with me about this, and I'm not saying you guys in particular, but like a lot of Facebook arguments I get into, they're usually throwing some stuff that is just not true. Misinformation, racist stuff, blood libels, that kind of thing. And usually, and if they're more sophisticated about it, like the ones on the left as opposed on the right, then they mix some truth in there, but it's out of context. And it all comes from the same place, though. It all comes from wanting to see Israel destroyed. And why
would people on the left, why would anyone, like, why would people on the left want to see Israel destroyed?
Because they're successful? I don't know.
No, it's a good question.
I don't know.
Successful?
I don't know.
It's a good question,
No,
though.
That's a hateful, why would why? Anyone
I really,
want to see
okay,
it?
Strike that from the record. I'm sorry. I don't know.
No, but I mean,
really,
that's,
you I don't know. What
but that's
what
but it's okay.
Said.
That's an honest answer. He doesn't know. He actually doesn't know
but
why.
But what I'm saying is, where I'm coming from with this, is that the arguments I get in, usually the other person is saying Israel should have never existed in the first place.
Okay, now that's where we agree.
And here's
that's
why
where
it shouldn't
you and
exist
I
now.
Completely agree. Israel should exist. The Jews should be able to exist in Israel. And it wasn't fucking harmony between the Palestinians and the Israelis before the fucking
what about
formation
a
of Israel.
Two-state solution?
The only people talking about that anymore are left-wing Israelis and American Jews.
Listen.
The Palestinians stopped talking about it
Sharon
decades ago.
Sharon tried to give a bunch of land away on his deathbed.
Yeah, Gaza.
And
he did give it away.
He did. And it didn't change anything. So I'm with him. I understand what he's saying. And I am a proud Jew. And I think they should be in Israel. And
right,
it wasn't harmony. And by the way, there was Arab fascism before Intifada.
Mm-hmm.
There was Arab fascism back. A lot of Arabs were Hitler's henchmen. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff we don't get on the left. And there is anti-Semitism on the left, and it does come out of universities.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, we don't help by sending live gunfire into fucking protesters. If we are the test center, Israel, for American weaponry, which is kind of what we are, by the way, you won't get that on the right, but that's kind of what we are, what Israel is.
Mm-hmm.
We can have some non-live ammunition and have some way to dispel a violent protest behind a wall, that same place behind a wall, without murdering people. And guess what? The backlash of that is going to be more rockets going into Israel. More rockets are going to go into Israel.
That's
and they're
the
going to be
it's going to
be now it's
going to
be justified. It's going to be justified on the left because they can fucking do it because we just murdered what people are calling genocide. So do you see what I'm saying? I mean, this is not I know it's a complex thing. But do you see where I'm coming from, too?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Well, violence begets violence, and that's why I want to talk about this next sponsor.
Okay.
Brown Label. And they've been a great sponsor. And Brown Label Gift Pack, they're just tremendous. And I think it dovetails perfectly into our conversation. Brown Label Gift Pack. You may have heard that Brown Label had been shut down by a variety of colorful raids conducted by the FBI and CDC. We are happy to tell you that after a handsome donation to the RNC and with a little help from foreign investments funneled through the NRA, we are back like nothing happened. Well, good for them. This is a resilient company. With big government off our nuts, we can offer you the same regulation-free food products you have come to expect. To everyone who signs up for our delivery service using Pep Talks, you will receive a free 1-pound sample of our delicious Rainbow Meats Pack. Now, can you imagine that? Our Rainbow Meats Pack is full of your favorite selection of unlabeled type exotic origin meats. And for you vegans, that's me, enjoy the estranged vegetable varieties your family has begrudgingly come to accept, like okra berries, collie fungi, and plant. Mm, you got to try plant.
Plant is very good.
It's, yeah, and it's for people who also have a problem pronouncing. Don't forget our $5 mystery bag full of unnameable food items straight from the imagination of H.P. Lovecraft. You will go literally insane trying to describe what you see. Enjoy what employees have described as both an endless fearscape of horrors and the damning laughter of an infant god. Brown Label. Oh my God. What's in the box? So thank you, Brown Label,
you know,
for
Brown
providing.
Label, and you know, we used to be sponsored by Soylent Green. I'm not supposed to plug that anymore, but you know,
it's
they pulled
made
out
of people.
Yeah, they pulled out, and now we have Planned Plant.
And let's play one more. We have one more.
Okay.
It's from Roger again. It's a follow-up question on our line. And if you want to call in, it's 424-262-0904. And we'll play your message on the air like this, if it's playable.
Hey, follow-up to that last thing. I'm talking about beeping, trucks backing up, leaf blowers, digital devices that are endlessly coming at us with learning curves that will become obsolete and thrown away within 3 years. Only to have to do it all over again. Stuff like that. Seems like it might kill enlightenment.
Right. We were talking about Nietzsche, and then we went into Nazism, and then we went into Israel-Palestine, which got very, very fucking serious. Which, you know, it's a serious issue, but and it's so polarizing. But let's get back to Roger's thing.
Okay.
About...
technology.
What did he say? He said technology.
Well, he went from beeping cars to he was all over the place.
Technology killing enlightenment.
Right.
Right? Now, what he's and I agree with that because I think what's key to enlightenment, and it even kind of dovetails into this, what I was saying about, you know, like Ron has one point of view, I have another point of view, you have a point of view, and sometimes people are just
they want to fight.
No, well, fight, it's not, yes, but it's like they can't get off that point of view. And enlightenment is about not, and this is wild about enlightenment, it's about, and I can't figure this out yet, and maybe because enlightenment isn't of the brain, but it's about not having a fucking point of view. It's about just kind kind of divorcing yourself from all points of view, like meditation. Do you meditate at
yeah,
all?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
So you know what the fuck we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. You don't, I don't think.
I do.
You don't strike me as a meditator.
Fuck you. You fucking Yankee fan.
No, because
I meditate every day and I still have issues. I still want to grab the world by the, you know, so it's mm-hmm. about not grabbing for the world and letting go.
I'm a bad meditator in this sense. Again, it comes back like something earlier we were talking about, like discipline. Like I have trouble, like I think meditation, there's a certain discipline to it. Mm-hmm. Like do you do it every day?
Not anymore.
This happens to me.
Yeah. When I started, I was doing it twice a day like they taught me to. Mm-hmm. I do TM. Right.
You know, me too.
The kind the Maharishi did and the Beatles and Andy Kaufman, you know. So
I started with the transcendental stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't want to do a mantra for some reason. And then I went into breathing stuff. But go ahead.
So, yeah, I did that. And it actually worked really well. And they warned me about something happening. They said, like, you'll get into it and things will start going really well for you and your life will get so full of stuff that you'll stop meditating because you'll stop having time. They call it busy businessman syndrome.
Yeah.
And that happened. And, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a good thing. But then mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. It's like, well, Steve hasn't experienced much success. What happens is that you get successful because your mind is calmed down, so it allows you
to barriers, the unseen barriers.
It allows you to do. It allows you to not get in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the key things about meditation is that you don't get in your own way anymore because you're fucking like letting go of all the things that determine your habits. So a lot of bad habits can fall away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get successful. And then you stop meditating because you're like, well, I got this to do.
Well,
I got that
I
to
was
do.
Thinking he was going to say you stop meditating because you don't need to anymore and things are going well. But he said, what was it that you said? You stop meditating because you have so much stuff going on you don't have time for it.
Yeah, and there's an element of that too, like of, you know, stop needing to because things are going so well. So you just kind of coast on that for a while, but then it can kind of drop off if you don't keep doing it, which it did for me, you know, so
Right. Things
go up and down. So I'm trying to get back into doing it twice a day again.
Are you doing it again? Are you doing it again?
I've done it once today. I'll maybe do it again when I go home. We'll see.
Yeah. See, that's good. I haven't been able, like when I get up now, I used to do it first thing in the morning. That's what they tell you to do.
Right.
First thing in the fucking morning. And instead, I want coffee first thing in the morning. I want to get a coffee. Now, what I really think is a mistake, and I don't do this, or I try not to do this, and this is to Roger's point about technology killing enlightenment, is if I go on the fucking computer
mm-hmm.
first thing and start looking at the news and start looking at this conflict we're mm-hmm. talking about, I'm gone. I'm gone into the shit, and I get angry, and my big thing, and I've talked about it here, is anxiety. Like I fucking
panic attack.
We've talked about it a little in the park with the doggies, and we were talking about comedians and how they're susceptible to like anxiety, depression, shit like that. I mean, everybody's susceptible to it, but like something about comedians and people who do fucking comedy.
You're a very sensitive dude. I mean, I'm sensitive and you're more sensitive than I am because I can detach myself a little more from the news and go, okay, I don't need to fucking look at that. I know intuitively the more I look at this, the more I'm going to get hyper into a frenzy and enraged. Mm-hmm, and I mean mm-hmm. social media too.
Social media.
Not
crazy.
Just, you know.
Like you said, Facebook fights. And when you were talking about that, whenever I've gotten into a Facebook fight, that's the worst because there's something about not being – like at least we're in person and we mm-hmm. see each other and we could be human. But there's something about getting into a Facebook fight that I want to – it's so fucking maddening.
You know what happens is nobody's landing a punch really in an internet fight. And when you finally do really land a punch, the other person – either goes berserk or they go away and then they report you or something. So it's really fucking ugly on the internet. But this is good, mm-hmm. though. The discourse is good.
Absolutely.
That's all we can do anyway,
mm-hmm.
to have discourse and talk about shit.
Yeah, that's what people...
What else can we do? I can't go stop the Middle East violence.
I don't understand. Well, I don't have a history. My history is bad. Like, I'm not a good historian. And also, history is very political. History is very political. They say history. That's right. I was just going to use that phrase. History is written by the fucking winners. So you have to fucking, like, Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States, good book. And he, that's kind of an interesting perspective, like writing history from the people instead of like the, you know, the big fucking guys, like, you know.
So let me ask you this. You have all this information. You have Chomsky and you have Howard Zinn and you have all these brilliant people. But if you don't have like a holy inspiration of intuition, how do you
inspiration? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I agree with that. That and we're talking about that kind of in a roundabout way with Roger talking about enlightenment and technology killing enlightenment, and now talking about like world events. You have to have a spiritual element in your life, or life can be it can be so. I don't know.
It's a hall of mirror, a hall of mirrors, dude. It's
what
like
do you
a
mean
fucking
by that?
Funhouse mirror. You walk by the funhouse mirror, it tells you you're fat. You walk by another funhouse mirror, it tells you you're skinny. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't have some holy spirit, or as the Christians call it, our holy indwelling and intuition.
I like the holy indwelling.
Intuition, yeah, that's the Jewish thing. If you don't have that, you can't organize all this facts and information into something that you can work with and live with. And understand the truth in, because it's Rashomon. Life is fucking Rashomon, man, you know? And you gotta have some.
And what the Buddhists say, and I think what all religions actually say, is that the way to contact that is through stillness. Like God, like be still and know you are God is a great saying. Mm-hmm. And that's part of meditation, because what you do, and this to me is the only way you get in touch with any kind of spirituality, is you be still. You can't, like, I really am a person in desperate need of meditation, so it's hilarious that I don't do it regularly, because my mind is just going, it's like, it's even hard to recognize.
Right.
That my mind is going, Pepitone, what the fuck are you doing? You're a fucking idiot. You know, like like so many nasty. Well, yeah, most of it is like, or it's just bullshit I have to do. Like,
get up.
You have
get
to leave the podcast pretty soon. You have to walk the dogs. You have to do this. You have to do that. You know, look at your stomach. Like da 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 da. And the only way
navel gazing.
Hey. Well, no. Like I'm fat. Like, that's one of my things. You know what I mean? Like just – it's like – it's an attacking voice a lot of – what's your experience with it?
So they – when they taught me to meditate, they said that would happen. You know, they said other thoughts would come while you're meditating. Like, thoughts will come, like self-negative thoughts or just what you have to do that day or whatever. So – this was the difference, like, because I tried to learn another kind of meditation before, but they didn't explain that to me, that thoughts are going to come, let them come. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Right, exactly.
And as soon as you remember to kind of gently pluck your mantra out of whatever thought you're thinking. So you can't say your mantra out loud. You know,
thoughts are going to come, let them come.
Yeah, yeah.
And let them go.
Yeah. So let's say.
Like clouds passing, right?
So the mantra, the idea in TM is like, if you... They give you a mantra, which is just a word, a collection of syllables.
Did you have to pay for your mantra?
Yeah.
Me too. Fucked up is that?
And you have to, and you say it out loud one time, and then you think about it when you meditate.
Funny. Pay for your mantra.
And you never say it out loud again, but you just think it to yourself over and over. So hypothetically, let's say your mantra is balloon. Right,
okay.
Which it wouldn't be.
Not getting a free mantra.
Right.
I don't
this
need a fucking mantra.
No, he doesn't pay. He doesn't pay for his mantra.
So if your mantra is balloon, right, and you're sitting there trying to think it, balloon. Oh shit, I gotta.
Is that a mantra? A balloon?
No, it wouldn't.
It's not. It's like, we're giving you a fucking fake mantra because you don't have the dough.
Guess what, motherfucker? I have the real mantra.
But then,
and I'm not even gonna give it to you.
But then the thoughts.
It's free.
But then the thoughts come, right? Then the thoughts come, and you're like, you're thinking, oh, I gotta pay my bills today. Then I gotta do this. Oh man, I suck. Why does everything blah blah blah? And then another thought will come, and you're like, oh wait, I'm supposed to do the mantra. And my trick is like, if a word comes that sounds like my mantra, I'll say, okay, there it is, got it. So I don't know. Some word that sounds like balloon. It'll be like, oh yeah, everything sucks. Oh, what, you know, my
you mean
my belly's getting bigger. I'm just turning into a big fat balloon. Oh, there it is, balloon. You know, whatever.
That's, oh, it reminds.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Hey, why don't you guys just, we're all Jews, why don't you just lay in bed when you fucking wake up in the morning, don't get out of bed, lay there. This is my suggestion to you. Do not fucking get out of bed. Lay there, you're in your comfortable position, and just lay there and do your deep breathing then, before you get up, because you say the Shema.
Well, because
I do that too.
Say the Shema.
What's the Shema?
Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. One God. It's the most precious.
What is the
Jewish prayer?
What is the translation
of Judaism? What
is the translation? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. One God. There's one God. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Le'olam Va'ed is the other part. But you don't have to say that. You could just say the Shema.
What is that? What does the other part mean?
It means, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Le'olam Va'ed. Blessed is His glorious kingdom forever and ever.
Okay.
Very good.
So there's one infinite God.
I like the Our Father. Yeah. I like the Our Father prayer, which is Our Father who art in heaven. It's Christian.
Catholic, right.
It's Christian. It's,
right.
But I like Jesus. I like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But I think this is a good time for our third sponsor.
Okay. Ah, and he always finds a good moment.
No, I mean, this is, I mean,
see, that's how you pluck the mantra out of your thoughts. You're like, okay, now that, you know,
yeah,
find
corporate
the right
advertising.
Moment. Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, we have to pay for the podcast, and this one is Feather Touch Kids Mattresses. By the way, we want to thank Matt Rasamoto for writing our copy for these advertisements. Thank you, Matt. Matt texted me during our Israel, you know, the Israel-Palestine thing, and he just said, "What the fuck is going on?" But that's his job as a producer.
So he's on your side.
I don't know. Yeah, I think he was just worried that it was getting too intense, you know what I mean? So anyway, Feather Touch Kids Mattresses. As every parent knows, there is no... Actually, you haven't read one.
Oh.
Steve, let Steve read this one. I forgot. I'm like...
Well, just, you know, I got my my raise for the podcast, and that's all because of Feather Touch Kids Mattresses. And as every parent knows, I'm not a parent, but I'm sure they know, there is no mattress that can withstand the constant erupting fountain of bodily fluids and excrement that spew from a sleeping child. New mattresses are expensive and impossible to return. At Feather Touch, our mattresses are so cheap that they're basically disposable, making them the perfect mattress for the budgeting family on the go. Our selection of premier use mattresses are available at nonsensical prices. And while comfort's not guaranteed, think about this. Sorry. Think Eddie's just replaying my fucking shit back for me. Little kids don't really know what they want and have garbage opinions. We can't only eat hot dogs and ice cream, and sometimes you have to sleep in a soiled bed because daddy gave his 401k to Michael Cohen after all those teenage hookers got poisoned in a bouncy house he rented for your cousin's fucking birthday party. When making our own roofies out of color-safe bleach and Mentos, you don't always get what you pay for, unlike the easy affordability of Feather Touch mattresses. Order a mattress today and ask about our smothering pillows. Find endless peace with a smothering pillow, only at Feather Touch.
Boy, that was a weird one.
Thanks for letting me read it.
Yeah, that's why I let you read that one. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to touch Feather Touch mattresses. We have one more. We have one more before we wind up with Ron, and we never really talked about like what are a couple of web series that you've done? You did a couple. We were talking about them. Talk about them a little bit.
Oh, okay. So first one I worked on was for Yahoo. It was called Sketchy. And that wasn't exactly like it wasn't my series. I just contributed a lot of sketches to it. And there
Sketchy.
Were, yeah. So
can people still find it?
Yeah, yeah. It's still on Yahoo. You can see it. We did a lot of their animated content and some live action stuff too. Biggest thing we did was one called Disney Star Wars Corporate Retreat. Right when Disney bought Star Wars, before they started making the new movies. Like I said to my writing partner at the time, like we gotta be the first, and we gotta like cover all the bases that they could do. So he came up with the idea. Ethan Smith, shout out to my writing partner there, came up with the idea of having it be like a corporate retreat where all the characters from the universe are from the two universes are meeting each other. So we have Luke and Captain Hook kind of bonding over being amputees, and you know, we have the genie and Yoda like battling over who has better magic, that kind of thing. And everybody's trying to have sex with Jessica Rabbit, and you know, Obi-Wan uses the mind trick.
So it's like bringing all these characters. Now, yeah. If you're bringing all those characters together, do you need to get permission to do that?
No, because it's satire.
Ah, and here's an interesting fucking thing.
The crazy thing about that,
they will if they can.
The crazy thing about that is we were expecting some sort of backlash or pushback from Disney, but we not only did we not get any, they actually helped us promote it.
Wow.
Yeah, like Disney executives were going on Twitter and like saying, hey, check out this great parody or, you know, whatever they were saying.
Wow.
And,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So.
And what was another thing you worked on? Because we got to wrap it up.
So after that, I sold a show to DreamWorks TV called Gorillaville.
That's which right. You showed
can,
me that.
Which you can fun. Now find on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what is the premise of that show?
It's I describe it as Yogi Bear meets the Three Stooges meets Planet of the Apes, basically. It's
Gorillaville, and yeah. You can find that on Amazon.
Yeah, it's three apes, three young adult male apes who live in a wildlife preserve and get out and cause mischief. And, you know, old school slapstick humor. I try to, adhere to like the old like 1940s cartoon humor and logic and all that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have like the smart one, the dumb one, the angry one, that kind of thing. And it's a lot, cool. You know, if you don't hate me from what we were saying before, please check it out.
Are you?
Yeah. No, no.
Are you a Roger Rabbit fan, by the way?
I'm the biggest Roger
Dude,
Rabbit fan.
Dude, you know why there was never a Roger Rabbit sequel?
Why?
Do you know that? Because the Hollywood corporate feminists thought it was a sexually objectifying, they didn't want Jessica Rabbit in any, they wouldn't pass
really?
It. Yeah. Zemeckis did a whole interview about it.
Really?
So that was like the late 80s. So imagine.
The late 80s.
And I knew they were going to make one. Like it was,
yeah, it was in the,
it was a prequel.
Right.
It was Who Discovered Roger Rabbit or something like that. And it was Roger going to, because it took place during World War II, because the movie Roger Rabbit took place right after in like 1948.
Uh-huh.
So the prequel was going to be Roger and the Toon Platoon, I think it was called. And like he goes and fights the Toon Nazis.
Right. This is before they kill his brother.
Talking about Nazis again. Yeah. And like all the same tunes make cameos, like Bugs Bunny's in it, and show how he met Jessica in the first place. I would love to see that movie. I hope they still make it, but you know it didn't get made.
Mm.
It's too bad.
All right, so we have one, and thank you, Ron. And where
welcome.
Can people find you on Twitter?
Yeah, at Ron_Yavnieli. I'll
better spell that one.
Yeah, Y A V as in Victor, N as in Nancy, I E L I. It's a mouthful, I know. It's an Israeli name. It
That's
means
right.
to build for God. And
does it?
Yeah. And my it's
a
not
beautiful name.
And it's not really my family name. My grandfather adopted it from somewhere else. But
very cool.
Anyway, that's another story. And yeah, I'm on Twitter at Ron, and you can look me up on Facebook. I'm pretty sure I'm the only Ron Yavnieli.
I would think.
There's no others.
And Gorillaville on Amazon.
Yeah, Gorillaville is on YouTube and Go90 and Amazon Prime now. So you can find it any of those places.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you for being the guest. We have one more sponsor, and then we got to go, and it's Nourish Paleo Pride. And they've been a great sponsor, Paleo. And some of you may not know this, but I am a vegan. It's something I don't talk about much, which is not true. As a man who constantly walks the wire of a healthy diet, I know the dangerous pitfall of glutinous sweets. That's why I like Nourish Paleo Bakery. Their baked goods are 100% vegan, free of animal products and all sugars. Through patented cooking methods and the magic of irradiated Somalian sea foam, their baked goods are as healthy and light as butterfly kisses. Jeff D. from Kansas stated, "Paleo baked goods are delicious. You can really taste the jetsam of the African coast. Baked to perfection, these treats from Nourish Paleo are available online and hand-delivered by ravenous Somali pirates driven insane by a diet of seawater and flotsam-based baked goods. David M. from Ohio told us, I came home from work and my house had been broken into. The only thing I had left was a Paleo bakery box with a human foot inside. Mary G. from Illinois says, a man came to my house, threw a box of crumbs at me, and set himself on fire. He kept screaming that the voices needed out. Nourish Paleo Bakeries, the flavor is in the foam. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Pep Talks. Yep. My producer just said that Facebook cut off the feed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if
we'll still be on SoundCloud.
We'll definitely be on SoundCloud. Who knows if it was too controversial for them or...
Oh, wow.
I don't think so.
It was the internet here for a second.
What's that?
The internet went down here for a
Oh, the internet went down there. Yeah, the internet went down. But anyway, thanks everybody for listening to Pep Talks. Stevie, did you want to say something?
Yeah, friends and family of Siddiqui Fuller.
Oh,
lost
right.
a great comedian and a really wonderful human being and an old friend of mine. I just wanted to let you guys know that I was thinking of you if you're friends or family of Siddiqui and you know, just keep him in your prayer.
Mm. I'll second
for
that.
Peace.
Did you know Siddiqui too, Ron?
Yeah, I met him a couple of times.
I didn't know him. All right. All right, my friends. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Pep Talks. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And we'll see you next week, guys.